This is the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome to this month's podcast. Before I get into the content, I want to encourage you, coming up in September, September 7th, that's a Thursday evening, John Bevere is going to be here at Victory with the Awe of God Tour. And it's a paid event, typically, but I've invited John and we're covering all the costs. Kim Walker-Smith is going to be with him. There'll be more details emerging on Facebook and all those other ways, and we'll be sending emails out to those in our network. But set that in your calendar. It is an incredible evening. I've been to one, and it's remarkable. So again, that's John Bevere coming with Kim Walker-Smith, the Awe of God Tour. And you just heard John on the podcast last month, and make sure to put that in your calendar. This month, I want to get into a subject that has been foundational in my leadership, but it actually began more in my private walk with God. But I want to talk about how it impacts leaders. And to title it, it would be the training camp of generosity. The training camp of generosity. How giving is actually a place of development in God. And I want to get into this in a way that I hope will help you process this both on a personal level, but how to transcend it personally into the way you operate, in the way in which you lead, and particularly if you lead an entire organization, the way you process resources or money. So there's three simple points. The first one is this: the training camp is for the game. The training camp is for the game. With anything, and that includes God's plan for our lives, God's purpose for our life, it will never be fulfilled without training. I think there's enough scripture to give us that understanding. But training that prepares you for God's purpose is painful. You know, that's the part I honestly didn't understand and embrace as a young man. I saw things through the lens that they were going to get easier. If I did things well, if I did things properly, that life would get easier. Situations would get easier. Leadership would get easier. And it's not the case. Life is uphill. Anything of value is uphill. This past weekend in our weekend services, a guy that used to play for the Steelers showed up and introduced himself to me after the service. Now, if you're a Steelers fan, and if you're not, that's quite pitiful, but that's a separate podcast. But many of you will remember James Harrison. And so he came up with his wife and two kids and introduced himself. And if you're a Steelers fan, you just know that James Harrison was maybe one of the most, I mean, just incredible player in Steeler history. And he was remarkably lethal. But if you know anything about James Harrison's training regimen, of which, if being a Steelers fan, you know, I've seen all the YouTube clips, I think, where he bench presses, and I'm not exaggerating, I think the number was 565 pounds. It's just unimaginable. But James Harrison wasn't drafted. He was a free agent. He was on the practice squad. And no one saw him as a future Hall of Famer, of which most certainly he is. But it didn't come easily. This man trained and trained and trained. And I believe he was in his early 40s or 42 when he was benching, after retirement, the 565 pounds. But he didn't get where he was without training. And I have no reference point for that kind of weightlifting, but I can only imagine the pain that it took to prepare him for the kind of execution that he had with his career. Now, all of us have a calling. All of us have a purpose. Maybe it's never going to be as crazy and as broadly watched and understood as James Harrison. And if you are a Steelers fan, you know that returned interception in the Super Bowl that they won against the Cardinals is the greatest play in Super Bowl history. I just thought I'd mention that for those of you that listen to the podcast that are fans of other teams. That's a pitiful decision, but that's another podcast. But in Acts 13:36, the Bible said, when David served God's purpose for his own generation, he died, and he was buried with his fathers. Sadly, most Christians live and die and never take one step into their divine purpose and destiny. not just for their life. David did it for his generation. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because you're either called to be a leader or an emergent leader, or you have such an interest that piques your heart to want to understand leadership. Leadership is never about steps taken for your own life. They're steps that are intended to impact your generation. No one person can impact a generation. But when you collectively come together with the purposes of others, truly you can leave a mark in a generation. The question that rings over and over again in my heart is this: what will be written about you and about me? If God were to write an epitaph of your life and mine, I wonder, would he say, John did or didn't serve God's purpose in his generation? That's a question that will be answered one way or the other with my life. But giving is such a critical area, generosity. It's a training camp, it really is. And the question we have to answer, is it just a religious burden that God has made us bear? Or is how you handle your resources, your money, a training camp to divine purpose and destiny? So let's get into the training camp of giving. In Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul was speaking, and he said this. He said, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, as a 62-year-old man who has lived in this world of generosity, birthed, if you will, by God's kindness and grace, I truly understand this today, but I have to be honest. When I began to when I read this, when I was in a place of, I mean, poor people were sending me sympathy cards. I mean, I had nothing. I read that and I thought, well, you know, I don't know. It sure would be good to have some stuff right about now. I didn't see the broad picture of what this really meant. So why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because here's the reality. You will never be more Christ-like than when you're giving. Let me say that again. You will never be more Christ-like than when you're giving. Because the principal action of love is to give. The principal action of love is to give. God so loved that he gave. You see, love always does what is in the best interest of the other. Now, Jesus himself learned obedience. The scripture said through the things that he suffered. As we talked about, training camp is painful. Growth is painful. Development is painful. In Hebrews 12:11, it speaks to this very specifically. I'm going to get into some examples that I believe will help illustrate this to you so that you can apply this to your leadership and to your private life. In Hebrews 12:11, it says this: no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the discipline or the training that's painful, produces a harvest of righteousness and a harvest of peace for those, now qualifies, for whom it does this for, to those who have been trained by it. Not everybody stays in training camp. Not everybody goes through the training or the discipline because they see the painfulness of it and they run from the pain before understanding that the pain and the training, though the pain being very unpleasant, will ultimately produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. The training that God uses to prepare me and you, it's designed to enable us to do something. That training is designed to enable me to trust God and to walk by faith in an ever-changing world. Now, I want to make a few statements that I believe are true from my experience. I have never in my life met a person who was a kingdom of God multiplier. I'm not talking about their own money, their own well-being. I'm talking about multiplied the well-being of others. I've never met a person who was a kingdom multiplier who didn't walk and live by faith. And what I've learned is that in the training camp of giving, that it takes greater faith to be a giver than it does a receiver. And I have never met a person in my life who truly walked by faith beyond their own wants and their own needs and their own problems that wasn't dangerously generous. I'm going to say that again. I have never met a person who has walked by faith and multiplied the kingdom of God beyond their own well-being that wasn't dangerously generous. Now, there are three basic kinds of giving in the New Testament, and I'm not going to cover the doctrinal context of this. So let me say it this way. There are three types of giving disciplines or trainings, if you will, that apply to an individual. But if you lead a church, they can also apply directly to a church. And they're simply, if you know the Bible, the tithe, giving offerings, and giving to the poor. Those are three kinds of giving that every Christian should be a part of, not every mature Christian. This is, in my view, in fact, we'll see as we go to the third point, these are the ABCs of Christianity. This is, if you will, learning to be a tither, a giver, and a giver to the poor is kindergarten. It's actually preschool. Every believer should cut their teeth learning and being trained in the training camp of giving. The tithe already belongs to God. A tenth of everything is already His. I don't know your doctrinal perspective on tithing. It's quite irrelevant because tithing isn't about money anyway. Tithing is about the first. The first dime of every dollar isn't mine. Do I steward it to the kingdom or do I keep it? Tithing isn't even giving. It's just not stealing because the tithe belongs to God. What I do with the first dime of every dollar tells me where my trust lies. Will I take what belongs to God and use it for me? I'm talking to you about the training camp of giving. Every time I tithe, it's a statement of faith that what belongs to God I won't keep. I won't take what God has marked for eternal purposes and bring it into a temporal world because I need it. Offerings are what you give above the tithe, what you decide out of your heart in relationship with God. And then lastly, giving to the poor. Now, I have to tell you, is over the last, I guess, 40 plus years, I have monthly, every month of my life, practiced these three types of givings. Now, the funny part is that probably for 10 to 15 years, at least, I was the poor, and I wasn't giving them much, but I was always looking for opportunities to give to people in need. And I was doing this for a couple-year period of time, while I was actually living in my car when I was traveling and speaking in churches. So I want to talk to you for a moment about the pain of giving. Now, I don't see it that way today, but that's how I used to see it. When I was a new believer and then ultimately stepping into ministry, God began to deal with me about my giving. And as I started to travel and speak in churches, God began to do something in my life that honestly upset me. I didn't understand it. Time and time and time and time again, He led me to give everything I had away. I'm not suggesting God would lead another person to do this, but when you understand the training aspect to it, the demand that it required to live by faith to do it, I think you're going to see very quickly that without the training camp of generosity, you will fail to be able to trust God. If you can't trust God to be a giver, you will not be able to trust God to be a receiver. It's proportionate. And so time and time again, this occurred. And to give everything away. Now, it seemed like every time I had any resources put together, and I don't mean a lot of money, maybe $300 or $400, I'd be led to give it away. And I barely had money to eat at times. But I honestly was upset at God. I said it out loud in prayer. I said, Lord, why are you doing this to me? And I gave Him the names of people that they wouldn't miss this money if it was chump change to them. Why are you doing this to me? And then as well with giving to the poor. But then the coup de grace, if you will, or the part that put me over the edge was when Michelle and I were living in Africa as missionaries, and we were coming home in 1993 to start Victory. Toward the end of 1992, God dealt with Michelle and I. First, Michelle, to be honest with you, and she was about six months pregnant at that point with our son, maybe 5 months pregnant. And she comes to me and she said, honey, all of the equipment that we brought over here to purchase, God's dealt with me to leave behind. Now, I was intending to sell the equipment, which would amount to about $35,000, bring those monies back to the U.S. to help start the church. And it would have been entirely appropriate. So Michelle comes to me and she says, baby, I just feel like God's dealt with me that we shouldn't do that. Now, I had the same thing in my heart, but I was afraid. And actually, I was angry. I said, God, my wife is pregnant. We don't have any money. And at that point, we had about $7,000 a month of support. But that wasn't our money. That was going into the ministry. So Lord, we have nothing. And again, I told him about a couple that 35 grand would have meant nothing to. Why don't you ask them? And then it got worse. I was writing a letter to all of our partners asking them that when we returned from the mission field, that they would continue supporting us for a year, that they would just for 1 year help us plant the church. And every time I went to go handwrite that letter, I couldn't do it. Finally, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, why don't I have a peace about this? And the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. If you ever question hearing the voice of God, these kind of moments will let you know it's the voice of God, because you won't come up with this one. He said, write your partners and ask them to support the missionary that you're serving in your place. And so I sent that letter as we returned. And none of them got lost in the mail. And our income went immediately from $7,000 to under $200 a month. Two people continued to support us. They intentionally said, we want to help you start the church. And I was so angry. I said, God, why are you doing this to me? What I didn't understand is that the faith it would take is to give at a level that I did not understand, that I resented, but I knew it was God's will. What I didn't understand, that in that training camp, in that painful season, those seasons of my life, it lasted over a decade where there was nothing, that God was preparing me to trust him for what we're doing today. The harvest that he brought to our lives isn't personal wealth. Honestly, I don't have personal wealth. I don't have a ton of savings. I do have a retirement. But just to help you understand the concept of generosity that is extreme, Pastor Matt Gaetz is on our staff, and I guess I would be considered dangerously generous, because he went to the board and as they were trying to prepare some type of retirement for me. And he said, but you have to vote and make it where he can't just cash it in and give it back to the church. So they did that, and they did a resolution, so I can't cash out my retirement and give it back to the church. I'm not telling you this for any accolades. I didn't understand this in the beginning. In fact, I resented it. But what the harvest isn't the multiplied millions of dollars of property, the campuses, and that's not the harvest. The harvest are the people, and it overwhelms me when I see the literal tens of thousands of people that have come to Christ. And what I want you to understand as a leader, the faith to obey God for others begins with giving. And this isn't just for an individual, but I would suggest as a church, tithe. It's not in the Bible. You don't have to. But it requires faith. Give offerings beyond the needs of your church. Give to the poor every month in some capacity. And then the third point is simply this. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? Next month, I'm going to pick up this third point. Remember, simply put, the training camp is for the game. I'm telling you, it's for the game time. There is a training camp of giving. Secondly, when you get into that training camp, what does it really mean? What, as we talked about. But then thirdly, not just can I trust God. Generosity defines if God can trust you. Next month, I'm going to take you to a scripture that I believe will help you to see the clarity with which God determines the level in which he can trust you with your kingdom calling based on how you handle money. So I look forward to getting into that final part of this, if you will, understanding that I've learned in the school of pain and difficulty. And it's my hope that you can apply this to your personal life and your leadership, because there is a world desperately, desperately awaiting you, desperately awaiting you to fulfill your purpose. I look forward to catching up with you again next month. God bless you.
Thanks again for tuning in to the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share this podcast on iTunes. It's a great way to get the word out and to help others grow as leaders. We'll see you back here next time for another episode of the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.